This evening we're going to speak from Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text 14. In this text, Krishna describes the symptoms of someone who has bhakti, devotion. Every one of you wants that your life is auspicious. But there can be no auspiciousness in this world without at least a touch of bhakti. And the more bhakti that you have in your life, indeed, the more you are auspicious. This is the conclusion of the Vedic literature. When we say that your life is auspicious, it means it's authentic, it's for real. I know that so many of you have wondered, are you being for real? Is this world for real? Is anyone being for real with you? It's a common problem these days that people are suffering from a personal sense of inauthenticity. In other words, you don't feel real to your own self. And others are certainly not treating you in a real way. And then you look around in the world and you see, economically, politically, nothing's for real. Everyone's cheating. Everyone's simply concerned with their own benefit while talking about doing good to others. You look at your relationships and you question them. How much are these other persons or this person with whom there's a relationship, how much are they really caring for me or considering me? And furthermore, even if they do seem to care for me and consider me, what good does it do anyway? This is the nature of existence today, in which we're trapped in so much inauthenticity and we don't know where to turn. Where is the permanent good? Where is the lasting good? Where is the real pleasure? Where is the real truth? Everywhere we turn our head, we see temporariness, ignorance, superficiality, artificiality. So much so that we become depressed and we wonder, is there anything auspicious in this world? And what about my life? Am I going to go through all my years just dogged by inauspiciousness? Nothing's for real. I can't even be for real myself. I don't know how. This is the situation today. And enter Bhagavad Gita into our life. The supreme auspiciousness is speaking. Through Arjuna, Krishna is aiming his instructions at everyone, in all times, in all places. How you can be for real. First, we ourselves have to learn how to be for real. Then we can expect that maybe others will be for real with us. But if we don't know how to be authentic, then how can we feel bad about our living in a world of inauthenticity? Often we're just resigning ourselves to, well, this is how the world is, what can be done? Who can change it? You just have to do the best you can do. I didn't make the world the way it is, so, yeah. I'm just trying to survive, you know? What more can you do? So each generation passes on that feeling of resignation from parent to child. Today's child becomes the next parent. This is just the way the world is, you know? You just got to do the best you can. People have tried to change it before. It just goes on and on. Or even persons who talk about changing the world, they actually have no idea what are the central dynamics of material existence. They can't get their hands on the central controls. They become concerned with economics, politics. But what about the simple fact of the mind and senses that are covering the pure spirit soul? How do you get your hands on those controls? Only when we can actually get our hands on the actual factors in our existence can we then produce something auspicious. Look at your work lives. Look at your home lives. What do you find? Is everything completely for real? Or is it a game that you play? How are you? Oh, I'm fine. How was your day? Oh, it was good. Or if you really want to become even more superficial, and you go to California. When the book distributors in California, Krishna conscious book distributors, approach someone with a Bhagavad Gita, quite often the people give the California response, I'm good, man, I'm good, it's okay, I'm good. I'm auspicious already. Please think deeply in your hearts about how sadness is produced because we feel inauthentic and unreal. And we have to be superficial in our dealings, especially at work, even in family affairs, so much diplomacy, family politics. How can we actually live a life that is in reality in such a way that we'll be satisfied? You see, if we're not satisfied with ourselves, how are we going to satisfy someone else? Generally, as I said, we're nagged by this feeling that I'm not for real. I'm actually playing games. I'm pretending to offer value to others. I'm pretending to offer value to myself. I'm a phony. Mainly what I'm concerned with is how to satisfy the temporary urges of my mind and senses. That's where I'm really at, after all is said and done. When we turn to Bhagavad Gita, we find that Lord Krishna is giving us the symptoms of genuine existence, authenticity, how to be for real. When people come to the Krishna Conscious Center, to the Krishna Conscious Urban Community, they're feeling enlivened because reality is everywhere. That reality is everywhere means auspiciousness is everywhere. We don't run from ourselves here. We deal with the self. And we teach how to get your hands on the central controls of existence, the central dynamics of existence. Can that be done simply by intellectual endeavor? No. You may be very well materially educated. London School of Economics, Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, Yale. Unless we take the process that Krishna gives, there's no auspiciousness for us. So what is that process that Krishna gives? He talks about it in this verse 14 of the 9th chapter. Satatam kipayanto mam yatantascha dridhavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Satatam.
Satatam.
Always.
Always.
Kirtayanta.
Kirtayanta.
Chanting.
Chanting.
Mam. About me.
About me.
Yatanta.
Yatanta.
Fully endeavoring.
Fully endeavoring.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Dridhavrata.
Dridhavrata.
With determination.
With determination.
Namasyanta.
Namasyanta.
Offering obeisances.
Offering obeisances.
Cha. and mom,
me,
bhaktya, in devotion,
nitya yukta,
perpetually engaged,
upasate,
worship.
Worship.
Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. These are the symptoms of an auspicious person, a person who can be for real to yourself and be for real to others. Your reality is defined in terms of your relationship with the supreme source of everything, with Krishna. You can't be for real on your own. You can't be genuine on your own. Who are you to exist separate from everything? People today talk about interconnectivity. Everything's connected to this, everything's connected to that. Think of all the connections. But what is the ultimate connection? The fact is, if you analyze material existence, even if you could see beyond the range of your present senses, you would still never get to the end of all the connections. They're countless, too many. That's why Krishna asked you, consider the supreme connection, the ultimate connection, and then automatically you can understand your connectivity to everything else, to everyone else. You want to consider other persons. You want to be respectful, you want to be compassionate, sympathetic, understanding. But how far can you get with your tiny existence and your short lifespan? How much can you really do? Those of you who come from stable families or who have stable families, you may know it can take a lifetime just dealing with one family, keeping it on course. So really, how much power do we have? How much ability do we have to make connections on our own that are lasting and meaningful? We're operating in a world that at every step, at every opportunity, pushes inauthenticity upon you, unreality upon you. So we struggle how to be for real. And then finally we shrug our shoulders. Well, the world is the way it is. You know, you just got to do what you got to do and just try to get some peace for yourself, you know. Right? Just, you know, try to secure some security for yourself. And if you can help out a few people in the process, great. It's as best as it gets. In other words, lacking Krishna conscious knowledge, we don't know how to make the best of our connections. Even the little world of connections that we have. It's embarrassing how small our world of connections is. And still we're struggling to deal with that. When Krishna explains in this verse these symptoms of a Mahatma. Mahatma means one who has taken shelter of Daivi Prakriti, Krishna's internal potency. That's explained in the previous verse. Mahatmanas tu mam parta daivim prakritim ashruta vajantyana namanaso gyata bhutara mavyam. Daivi Prakriti, that's actually referring to Srimati Radharani. She's in charge of the devotional service. She recommends devotees to Krishna, thinking that the devotees are better servitors than her, although she's the topmost devotee of Krishna. Mahatma means one who has fully taken shelter of the internal potency of the Lord. That means situating yourself properly. You've heard the verse, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar. Krishna's like the sunshine, Maya's like the darkness. Just as wherever there is sunshine, there can't be darkness. Similarly, wherever there is Krishna, there can't be Maya. So everything depends on how you situate yourself. Then your life becomes auspicious. It's not about thinking, well, how can I be a better person? Well, actually, I think I'm pretty good, you know? And you ask some of your friends, what do you think? You think I'm a good person? Oh, yeah, you're a great person. Right? Isn't that how it goes? You talk to your mother or your father. What do you think? Are we good persons? Yeah, our family's good. That's about it. By hearing from Krishna, we learn, indeed, how we can do the best for ourselves and for others. Otherwise, without hearing from Krishna, we don't know how to do that. How do we stay in the light? That's the art, science, and culture of devotional service. As long as you're in the light, you can't be in the darkness. It's quite simple. So we have to look at our life and see, how much am I absorbed in the internal potency of the Lord? That will determine how much I'm in the light and not in the darkness. There can't be any auspiciousness to our activities without at least a touch of bhakti. You may be the greatest mystic yogi, the greatest mental speculator, jnani. You may be the greatest performer of pious activities. But without at least a touch of bhakti, there's no auspiciousness. And of course, we want more than the touch of bhakti. What Krishna is talking about in this verse is someone who knows how to take shelter. Krishnaika Sharan, Lord Chaitanya explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Someone who knows how to make Krishna the only shelter. Then there's auspiciousness. Because you're making that connection to the source of all connections, that means you're for real with all the other connections automatically, because you're dealing straight with the source. But if you try to establish real, genuine connections with everyone and everything in a way that's separate from Krishna, you'll fail miserably. You can only try to do that in your imagination. In reality, it can't happen because we're so tiny. How long does it take? How much bhakti yoga practice does it take for us to really understand how tiny we are? Let's think about it. We actually think we're big deals, you know? It's true. No matter how old we are, we think, you know, we got it together to some degree. I mean, they're better persons, right? We'll admit that. That is a lot worse. So, I mean, you know, we're not the greatest. We're not the worst. We're doing all right, pretty much. Huh? You look in the mirror and you nod your head. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. It's better, but, you know, those better persons are rare. And so many are much worse than I. In this way, you give yourself a false sense of security, integrity. Although, if we look at our life in the workplace, even in our family affairs, we always, from time to time, have to, shall we say, take leave of our own principles of and our own standards of integrity. Everyone knows that, right? You have to, you know, you can't be truthful and honest all the time. You can't be considerate all the time. After all, in this world, you have to look out for number one. So even in your intimate affairs, you have to watch your back. You have to be careful. You could be used. You could be exploited. Your own children could exploit you. Parents can exploit their children. It all happens these days. Therefore, everyone is so insecure. Where is something for real? You dream of making a connection that's for real, authentic. And then there's always false. You feel let down. Krishna is describing someone who knows how to take shelter of the internal potency. They have symptoms. They're not believing in Krishna. No, Bhagavad Gita is an action book. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling you how to be active in devotional service. He doesn't say, believe in me. He says, always chant my glories. Endeavor with great determination, bowing down before me. This is action. To chant Krishna's glories always. That takes exertion. Everyone here knows how to talk. It's like as we're driving here. Sorry, we're a little late today. We should have left earlier. As we're driving here, it's the summertime tradition in London. Everyone's outside of the pubs with holding their glass and just talking. It's like the beer just fuels the tongue, you know? We know how to talk. Krishna is saying, always talk about me. Anyone have a problem in talking? People love to have someone who will listen to them. When you're amongst friends, when you go to family reunions, family gatherings, it's a lot of talk. So Krishna is saying, always talk about me. Always chanting my glories means using the tongue to speak about Krishna. If we're always speaking about Krishna, we're not in the darkness. It's as simple as that. It's not about believing. Krishna doesn't say, you're always believing in me. No, he's talking about how you use your senses. Beginning with the tongue. Seva mukhi jivada swayameva sprajita. Devotional service begins with the tongue. And Krishna reveals himself to that devotee who's always using his tongue in seva, in service. So, always chanting Krishna's glory. Think about it. You could sort out your whole life. You can rearrange your whole life just based on talking about Krishna. To talk about Krishna, you need other devotees. So therefore, you always situate yourself where you can be with devotees so you can talk about Krishna. Now just think for a moment. I'd like all of you to think about it. How you could make a change in your life based on wanting to talk about Krishna. You have to be around persons who want to hear about Krishna, or you have to be very persuasive and convince persons who don't want to hear about Krishna to hear about Krishna. That's also always chanting Krishna's glories. You don't have to torture yourself. How am I going to be Krishna conscious? How am I going to improve? How am I going to get out of the darkness of Maya? Just think, how am I going to talk about Krishna? Action program, not belief. We're not talking about being pious, being a true believer. No one wants just to be a believer. You want an action program. So Krishna is speaking the most action-oriented book, Bhagavad Gita. Spoken on a battlefield in between two armies. Can't get more active than that. We've explained before, why does Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita in this scene, in this situation, in this setting? Why? Because Krishna knows in the future the conditioned souls are going to make excuses that Bhagavad Gita is just for the sadhus, it's just for the brahmacharis, it's just for the sannyasis. It's not for those who live in the real world. Those who work, who raise families. Bhagavad Gita is not for them. It's a special thing. Bhagavad Gita, yes, we worship it. It's special. It's up there, but we're down here, so what can be done? Right? Well, of course, you remember, who is Arjuna? Arjuna is a family man. Arjuna is not a brahmana, he's a warrior. And Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita to him to show you that the process of bhakti is practical for you. Everyone can talk. Everyone loves to talk, especially about themselves. You notice how good you feel when someone gives you a chance to talk about yourself? It's kind of like an artificially liberating feeling to talk about yourself a lot. You notice that you get a materially nice feeling. You talked about yourself. Of course, the other person, you know, is generally not interested or pretending to be interested. But you feel good that you talked about yourself. That's because you're part of Krishna. Because you're part of Krishna, you have the same tendencies as Krishna, but in a very minute proportion. Krishna is unlimited. He's the supreme. Therefore, he feels unlimited and real pleasure, unlimited real pleasure, when you talk about him. But what have we really done that we should be talked about? We're once again so tiny and insignificant. But when you talk about Krishna, you cannot calculate the auspiciousness that's coming to you. Therefore, Krishna says, not a question of believing in me, it's a question of talking about me. Some people protest. Isn't Krishna being egotistical? Saying, you know, you should always talk about him? You should always think about him? Isn't that being a bit presumptuous? But what can Krishna do? Everyone, they're all his parts. You can't get away from Krishna. In fact, as explained in the second canto of Bhagavatam, even when you think that there's something unrelated to Krishna, that seeing a situation unrelated to Krishna is also Krishna. How can that be? Someone's looking at me puzzled. Even not Krishna is also Krishna. Yes. When you think something's disconnected from Krishna, that's illusion. That illusory energy, that energy of illusion, belongs to Krishna. Just like the sun produces light, and indirectly the sun produces darkness when the light is blocked. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun, Maya is like the darkness. When you, by your own choice, situate yourself in the darkness, you're still dealing with Krishna, because the darkness is Krishna's illusory energy. So even when you say that something is unrelated to Krishna, has no Krishna content at all, still, that situation is Krishna's energy, but it's his illusory energy. So we can't get away from Krishna. And who would want to get away from Krishna? You can try this experiment. Get a piece of paper and write down a list of all the reasons why you'd want to get away from Krishna. What's Krishna doing to my life? And what's Krishna not doing to my life? What would I be doing without Krishna consciousness? How I'd be better off? So all those reasons why you should get away from Krishna, they're also Krishna, but there is illusory energy. So we can't get away. Krishna is indeed the totality of all existence. Both the sunshine and the darkness, meaning both the directly Krishna conscious things and the situations in which people say there's no Krishna, this is not connected to Krishna. That's also Krishna. You can't get away. Now, how are we going to apply the easy formula of talking about Krishna? Talking about Krishna means talking about his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes. talking about Krishna means also talking about his service. How are we going to mold our life so that we're always doing that? That takes some work. So what Bhagavad Gita is doing is motivating you to make lifestyle changes. This is what separates the genuine bhakti practitioners from those who are just wishful. Yeah, I wish I could do it. You can do it. It's all about lifestyle adjustment. I need to mold my life so that as much as possible I'm talking about Krishna. As I said, everyone here knows how to talk. Everyone. Now just go through in your mind. Think over your situation this weekend. Think about it deeply, your own situation. How can I make it so that I'll talk more about Krishna? Is that difficult? That's what Krishna's asking you to do. He's not asking for your belief. You don't have to meditate, contemplate this weekend. How am I going to believe more in Krishna? No. If you talk about Krishna, you'll taste his existence. As simple as that. It's not a question of belief. It's not a question of jumping through theological hoops. It's all about talking about Krishna. The more you talk about Krishna, the more you'll experience Krishna. Therefore, the Mahatma, the pure devotee, Satatam Kirtayantumam. Krishna says, he's always talking about me. He, she, always talking about me. In material existence, it's not known as a good thing to always be running your mouth about something. Mind you, as a little boy, there used to be a popular song, "You Talk Too Much." You talk too much, you worry me to death. You talk too much, you even worry my pet. So it's not known as a beneficial thing to just run your mouth on and on and on about something. Maybe you're afraid about that when it comes to Krishna, that, you know, generally just to talk about something on and on and on, you know, people don't think it's so laudable, it's so such a good thing. So maybe that's what that inhibits you in talking about Krishna all the time. But no, talking about Krishna all the time is perfect and auspicious. So you make plans how you're always going to talk about Krishna, or at least increase your talking about Krishna. You have to start somewhere. Who are you going to talk about Krishna to? That's the fun of organizing your life. You're going to talk about Krishna, you have to have persons around who want to hear. If there's no one around you who wants to hear about Krishna, you've got to convince them. You've got to arrange the situation so that they want to hear about Krishna. That's Srila Prabhupada, one of Srila Prabhupada's definitions of management. He says, management means to create a situation in which people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness become interested. That's management. A unique definition. By management, create a situation in which people will talk about Krishna and they'll listen about Krishna. And look at your own life and apply the Krishna conscious management principles. How can I create a situation for myself in which I talk more about Krishna and listen more about Krishna? This is how simple bhakti is. But what does our mind tell us? Oh, it can't be that simple. You don't understand, Swami. Life gets really complicated. Right? And that's all. Life gets really complicated in the hard struggle for existence. We're not starving, but we just don't have all that we need. We don't have all the security that is necessary to be peaceful in this world. I think I told you some time ago on a previous visit about the research done in Silicon Valley about rich people. Any, some of you remember? Yeah. You remember? What were the qualifications to be part of this research? Who remembers? Huh?
Have $1 million.
$1 million cold cash in the bank, a house worth $1 million, and investments worth $1 million. Then you qualify for this study. And what did this study find out? That in each and every case, such persons felt, we don't have enough yet. We just don't have enough to be secure in this world. You don't understand where the world is now. It's not like it was 30 years ago. A million's nothing these days. Okay, we got a house worth $1 million. We got $1 million in the bank. Investments worth $1 million. It's just not enough these days. Well, this time, when the last time I talked about it, I hadn't seen the video of this research, but somehow or other I came across the video of this research in which the people, you know, such persons were actually, you could see them explaining themselves. And, you know, they're sitting at the dinner table, you know, the husband, the wife, the kids, and the wife is saying with a straight face, look, I really want you to understand, we are not rich. I don't know why people have that impression. We are not rich. And actually, you know, you may think that just because we have $1 million in the bank, a house worth $1 million, and $1 million in investments, you may think that we're rich. But let me tell you, it's actually not enough. We don't have enough. We need more. Now, it's not for us. It's for our children. Very sincerely, it's like that. We need more for our children. You don't understand what the world is like today. You can't raise children properly on $3 million worth of assets. Don't you understand? Be for real. It's not for us that we're both the husband and wife are working 70 hours a week. Even though we're worth $3 million, it's not for us. We're doing it for the children so that their future can be secure. And then they all admitted one thing, that even if we wanted to reduce our working from 70 hours a week down to something less, or even if we wanted to just admit we had enough, we can't, because we know right around the corner from us is someone who's worth $1 billion. How can we rest in peace knowing that right around the corner is someone who's worth 10 times as much as us, 50 times as much as us? They're in the same neighborhood. And then they would say, look, what do you think my kids would feel about that? There's someone right around the corner who's got 10 times as much as their dad. I'm doing this for my kids. They like that. What's the solution to this madness? Simply to talk about Krishna. That effort to talk about Krishna brings the spiritual satisfaction we're longing for, and it detaches us from material existence just by making an effort to talk about Krishna. So you apply that in your life. You manage mentally, figure out how you can talk about Krishna more in your life. It's that simple. Satatam kirtyantava yatatas cha dridavrata. Endeavoring with great determination. Look and see how you can apply your London determination to serving Krishna. To live in a city like this requires great effort. Making your way through the traffic, the hustle and bustle. It's like I was coming here in the car, Gorkhashore's, driving through all these small streets and side streets trying to dodge the traffic. His wife Chattel's in the back seat with a map. Go this way, go that way. All these, you know, these tiny streets, you know. But they were endeavoring with great determination. So we would get here. Yeah, everyone knows that's life in London. So Krishna is saying, okay, you have that capacity to endeavor. Why don't you do it for me? And well, You see, living in London's one thing, serving Krishna's another thing, you know. I mean, isn't it enough that we believe in Krishna? Where's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? It must be somewhere where Krishna says, just believe in me. It's got to be here somewhere. That those who believe in me, they're the great devotees. It's got to be in here somewhere. I can't find it. Can you help me with what chapter? It's not there. Bhagavad Gita presents an action program. Always talk about Krishna. And then endeavor with great determination to do things for Krishna. Doing things for Krishna means talking about him. Using resources for Krishna's pleasure. Convincing others to take up the process of bhakti. We're not actually trying to convince anyone to believe in Krishna. Please understand that. This is not the program here. The program here is to give people a chance to enter the bhakti laboratory and use their senses for Krishna. To taste for Krishna, to talk for Krishna, to sing for Krishna, to dance for Krishna, to think for Krishna, to scheme for Krishna, to strategize for Krishna. To have families for Krishna, to live in the ashram for Krishna. Our program is all about action for Krishna's pleasure. Well, certainly you can recognize by looking at your work efforts, by looking at your study efforts, you can see you have the ability to endeavor with great determination. Yes, so please remember that. We have an action program which will produce auspiciousness in your life. The ultimate connection with Krishna. Finally, you'll be satisfied with yourself, and others will be satisfied with you. Hari Bol.